This podcast does contain spoilers, so if you're okay with that, listen on. If not, pause the podcast, go watch the movie we're about to talk about, and come on back.
All right, sweet.
Excuse me.
Brian, over here. Hey.
Pardon me.
Why don't you have the popcorn? It's starting!
Woo!
Hey! Shut up and listen to the podcast. Hey!
There's a lot out there to see. This is what we watched.
Da 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 da.
Skeetle be dee ba doo ba doo doo.
Da da.
Woo!
Ba da ba da ba da ba da.
Ba ba da ba da ba.
Ba da ba da.
Mm-hmm.
Ba da ba da.
I think that fell apart. Welcome, what we watch. Welcome in. This is what we watched. Brandon, do your thing.
It's a movie review podcast. It's a podcast for movie lovers, for TV lovers, and for those who like continuing stories.
Ugh, I hate it when he changes it. So that is Brandon. We also have Jeff. Jeff, say hi.
Hi. This is me.
This is I, and I am Matt. We are back.
We're back.
We are continuing our Fantastic franchise for I think they cut him down a little bit too far. Like, imagine if Peter Jackson was able to sit down, he could really expand these movies to add another hour or so. It's a really short franchise.
Lord of the Rings. The Lord of the Rings.
We are on Two Towers.
Now, did he name that the Two Towers because it was the second one, or is there a chapter named the Two Towers in the Lord of the Rings?
I mean, I don't know. There's definitely two towers in the story. That's the extent of what I know.
I assume. Okay. I don't know if there is an episode. It wouldn't shock. Episode. Chapter. How often I read, called Two Towers, but yeah, okay. I don't know for sure.
I know, but I will say that the title drop felt forced for this.
Oh, we got to Lord of the Rings, and all of a sudden, Brandon hates title drops.
I thought I thought he loved title drops.
I do, usually.
The lighthouse, he's like in the corner jerking off, being like, the lighthouse, and Brandon's like, oh, that was the greatest title drop ever, but... Lord of the Rings just brings it up, and Brandon's like, oh, this is fucking bullshit. Wow. I have no doubt he's also mad about something else.
I am.
Are you?
Oh.
Well, let's start this off.
All right.
We are doing Lord of the Rings, Two Towers. Yep. We already talked about the Fellowship of the Ring. If you did not listen to it, go back, listen to that episode. We all generally like it. Jeff and I have seen this before, all of these before. I think I've seen it multiple times. Jeff's seen it more than me. Brandon is still new. So we are getting, it's nice to get like a raw reaction from somebody. Jeff, has your mic stand always said Jeff?
So this is my clamp. I did write that there it is.
Okay.
I did write that at some point within the last few months, but it does also say it right here.
Oh, I didn't see that. Oh, because your hand's out there. It disappears.
I'm more a wizard than Brandon is. Now you don't. Oh, wait. Nope, there it goes.
I know.
You look nothing like a wizard.
As soon as my name appears right here.
The first one was perfect. The accidental one.
I know. Yeah, there it goes. I just have to do that. I have to be like,
Speaking of wizards, Jeff, shut up. And Brandon is dressed like a wizard. I'll go to Brandon right off the bat for Two Towers. Mm-hmm. We start off with, I understand Brandon's going to be annoyed, but like the scene of Gandalf the Grey at that time, Gandalf the Grey, because he dies, the Grey falling through the pit, battling a freaking ancient god monster, flying, stabbing, falling in what like looks like hell. He's like battling him in a freaking...
And falling for like 7 years. Goddamn.
Yeah, dude. It's badass. Like, it's the most badass. But as we know, I'm sure Brandon's going to be annoyed that they couldn't kill a character. The love of God. They brought back... He's not Gandalf the Grey anymore. He's Gandalf the White. So technically, I would say...
Gandalf the Grey is dead.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So Brandon can't be annoyed for it, about it.
I can't be annoyed because we got to see, yes, we got a little bit of a recap, but we got mostly to see Gandalf's perspective, and that I was okay with.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
The Balrog did die. They didn't bring the Balrog back.
Ooh, true. I was emotionally connected to the Balrog.
Yeah, same.
What is it?
I can never Shadow and Flame.
I can never say his name. What is it, Fabian?
What? Balrog?
Balrog?
No, that's just, that's like the entity. What's what's the Balrog's name? Whoa, what's this specific one's name?
I don't know. What, can you imagine what he said? We'll never know. Oh, well, I'll find out when we edit it, but I, you know, we'll never know. It depends. I don't know.
But yeah, Balrog, that's the, I guess, the type of being that he is. I don't think he has a name. Does he have a name? I just heard him referred to as Shadow and Flame as well. And
yeah,
a demon.
True. Yeah, you're right. Anyways, he's barely in
we'll call him Craig.
The second one. We're barely in the second one. So we're not even going to talk about him anymore. Craig died while fighting Gandalf, the formerly
Gandalf
gray.
Murdered Craig.
but one of the most things that I saw you before we recorded this, Jeff, and I mentioned it to you, but I feel like Two Towers is so much funnier than the first one, than Fellowship. Mm-hmm. Feel like they're making cracking jokes. I don't remember that many jokes. There were some jokes in Fellowship, but like
Gimli
like,
was the butt of the joke like a lot of the time.
Dude, who thought Gimli was going to be the freaking comedy relief? Like he was.
You're gonna have to toss me.
I think he did fantastic. Toss me. Don't ever tell the elf.
Don't tell the elf.
Don't tell the elf. Okay, we're not allowed to talk about the Helm's Deep yet. We have to wait because that will be.
I know that's
a whole.
You're
that'll be
jumping
a whole thing.
So far ahead.
That'll be a whole thing.
That's the third hour of this podcast episode.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We do have to do 3.5 hours.
We've got charts. We've got graphs.
Brandon's committed us to that. Oh, speaking of, Brandon, in the ranked from first to 143rd in the world, where do you think the United States ranks on average penis length?
Ah, important stuff.
Yeah.
The United States probably ranks, well, we're below average on anything educational, so we've got to be above averages on something. I'm going to go with...
So it's 143, so average is what, 70, 71 and a half?
71, yeah, 72. I'm going to go with...
144. I was right. I don't know why he corrected me to an incorrect number.
I want to go with... I want to say 69 so bad because, you know, nice. I'm going to go with 37.
Jeff, I can't believe what just happened.
I thought you were gonna spoil it. Oh my god, Jeff, you made the face. Oh, I looked at you on my it is. Guess what, Brandon?
No way.
69th.
God damn it.
He said that I just like gasped. I was like, no.
I know. I can't believe you didn't see it. Jeff's like,
give up.
Oh, that's so
holy
funny.
Shit.
Yeah, just so everyone knows, the US is I lost it. 5.57 inches. Last place is Thailand at 3.71. Gross.
Damn.
First place is Sudan at 7.07.
Oh, they're just lying. There's no fucking way.
Yeah,
that's
homie,
average.
I'm gonna be honest with you. The top 10 is just basically Africa.
That's right.
There's a bunch in Africa.
Is it racist to say? Of course it is.
Yeah, dude, there's like the Ecuador, good for them, and Venezuela. And then other than that, Sudan, Congo, Ghana, Nigeria. Anyways, all right, so what were we talking about? Penises? Dude, this chart.
The two penises?
This chart has flaccid, has hard, it has.
Your
circumference.
Search history must
They did
be
some
wild.
Studying.
No, fucking Wayne set.
No, yeah, Wayne's history is wild.
Yeah. We're hanging out at work, and he's like, oh, I sent you guys something. You're welcome. It did consume a decent amount of our day. All right, anyways, focus. Not on the penis.
So, the Two
Brandon,
Towers.
I'm going to let you give us an overall, what did you think of this? As like, it's just, again, this is the first time you've seen it.
Yep,
so overall, give me some thoughts.
Overall, I really enjoyed this one. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot more comedic. It was easier to follow along with everybody. I feel like the stories became a little bit more nuanced and a lot less generic. And the stakes got raised several times. Everything felt really like connected in a way that I feel like, again, the first one just kind of meandered, whereas mm-hmm. this one, like, things caused things to happen. And
that
was really fun. Acting again was spectacular. Crafts were again stunning. Overall it was a great sequel, and it has me really excited for the third one.
Nice. Side question: how many names did you remember from the second movie?
I did remember almost all of them, actually.
Oh,
the important
almost
who's
all
the
of them.
Who's the king of Rohan?
I said almost all of them.
Starts with a T, right?
The king of Rohan was that wasn't Aragorn. That was fucking
no, he's not,
the
he's not
Boromir,
king of
wasn't
anything.
It?
Huh? Say again.
Wasn't it Boromir, or was it Boromir's dad?
No,
Boromir's dad.
Well no, so no. Those are Gondor people.
That's Gondor.
That's a completely different city.
No. No, that's what I was about to say.
I was just curious. I'm not trying to point fun. It's hard. It's hard to remember names the first time.
Dude, that's
time
what I was
going to
say. Like, the names are, like, definitely got better because the second time mm-hmm. we see a lot of them. I feel like they introduced some new ones. Like, Boromir's brother. Yep. I could probably Faramir or some shit like that.
Faramir.
Whatever. Faramir, but like the three different like town, the American cities got confusing to me.
Yeah,
it's like there's Rohan, there's Gondor.
Yeah,
and then what's the
Gondor
third
is
one?
A type of bird.
Yeah,
you said third one.
Isn't there a third one?
I'm trying to think, because
I know we're gonna jump humans? Ahead. Yeah, because. Because Gandalf shows up with not the people from Gondor.
Well, so those were the riders of Rohan. Like, they were like the soldiers of Rohan, but they got like all, like, what's the term? They got banished.
That's what I was
by the Slytherin guy.
Holy shit, dude! He left and took that many people. Can you fucking imagine?
I know.
Oh, dude. Well, yeah.
Like,
I mean, if you're
like
the captain, dude, he's like most of the
city.
Yeah, well, he's the captain of all the soldiers. All the soldiers trust this dude, and the king was in a, you know, obviously being controlled and being stupid, so.
That honestly really does make sense that, like, because I was, okay, we can't jump to Helm's Deep, but I was noticing, I was like, I feel like there's not a lot of soldiers here. Mm-hmm. What's going on? Yeah. We cannot possibly start in Helm's Deep, because that was the grand battle that we'll talk about.
Well, we can talk more about, like, the introduction to Rohan and stuff like that, like, because there was also the I didn't realize I had subtitles on these viewings, and I did not catch the names of those wolves the entire time, the orc wolves, but they're called wargs, apparently, W-A-R-G-S.
Okay,
and,
I don't know what that stands for.
Yeah, I don't know. So the wargs were cool.
I think most of the CG, that CG was good. There was, like, a one or two spots. Like, there's one time that Legolas is sneaking up on one of them, and it just looks like Legolas is in the background, like a clip art, and he's just like sliding across the ground. It looks like, but overall the CG was really good. But I thought those wargs are cool, and I don't understand. Like, I feel like I don't see them. Like, that was like the only time we saw them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do they come back?
Sure. I think they come back for parts of Return of the King, because they just throw out all the creatures and all the things, I think, in certain battles, or probably in the main battle at the end.
Mm-hmm. I know we see the elephants.
It's been a long time since I've seen it, so I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure we see a couple. And then, speaking of animals and stuff, we saw Oliphants for the first time.
Oliphants.
Oliphants. To me, that's on Mount Doom level, where he's like, we have elephants in there. Like, whoa. They're not elephants. They're Oliphants.
They're Oliphants.
Like, to me, that's just like, it feels like Wicked, where they just add Ishless or whatever to the end. I'm like, come on, that seems dumb. Seems unnecessary. Think of something.
It seems unnecessary, but it isn't. In that case, in the Oliphant case, yes, it is unnecessary.
Okay, heard. Ten for. I do agree with you, Brandon, that, like, what I was saying about the first one, where the first one feels like it is story and history info dump.
It's like setup,
it's just,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like nothing but setup, it feels like.
Yeah, you have to like go the, through it. This. All leads up to the battle at the end of the first movie.
Right.
And then now this one's like, all right, now we're rolling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it really sets off. It really sets off like the true adventures, because it's like there is the group of them, but realistically, it's Sam and Frodo in their adventure with you know, Smeagol slash
Smeagol
shows up, and then it's the realistically the other one is Aragorn. Like that's what his quest and the people in his lives and shit like that. You know, he's a good spider. He's a good spider.
Aragorn is a great spider. But
I want to jump to you. Go ahead, Bernie.
Oh, you guys
forgot about Merry and Pippin too.
Goddamn,
that is very true. That is very
that
true.
Was a good that was a good storyline as well. Mm-hmm. It kind of did the same thing that, or I'm wondering if it did the same thing that the Dark Knight did. Is got all the info out of the way and then just focused on, you know, some more of the meat and potatoes of the action and like the real juicy bits of the story. And that's kind of why the Two Towers, I liked it more, is because there's a lot less setup. Obviously you have to have watched the first one to really understand what's happening. And it just kind of focuses on all of like the action of what's going on and all of these characters just, you know, doing their thing instead of trying to go, okay, remember what happened in the first one? Remember all these things that we went through and, you know, all these callbacks and all these flashbacks. It just kind of, you know, threw you into it and had a lot more time to expand on backstories and, you know, character relationships. So, you know, kudos to them.
It's interesting because I feel like in past days, Brandon would be like, well, this is not a freestanding movie that you could watch without watching the first one. So I don't like it as much.
Yeah, you definitely can't.
Oh, you definitely can't. But like, can you imagine this one? And then, but beforehand, they're going to have to explain to you who the bad guy is, who the hobbits are, who Frodo, you know, what the ring is, all that stuff. And then having this movie, that's one of the reasons why, you know, franchises are fantastic. Title drop. Is that you can like have this movie without the extra stuff. And it really is an intense story of following these two different storylines that is set up because of the first movie. And without it, you wouldn't be able to have this, which, you know, I think it's worth it having one that can't necessarily pick up. You have to watch another, even if it's not the extended, you know, another 3-hour movie. But I think it's worth it when you get to it. It's such such a buildup. And truly, when we get to the end of the last one, it is it's such an adventure that it really feels like you went on with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it is.
Yeah, and it does. It seems, again, like everything is building to something. And while there is a beginning, middle of an end of this, there's obviously, you know, something else that's going to happen. There's, you know, a bigger climax that's coming. And that gets me really excited to know, like, oh shit, like these heroes just barely fucking survived. They barely got through this battle. And this is the biggest, toughest thing they've had to face. They came, you know, scarily close to death. How the hell are they going to get through whatever's coming? Cause it's going to be much, much more challenging. And that just seems exciting to see, or is it exciting to think about?
The potential. Yeah. Potential. Yeah. Let's talk about the Frodo and Sam side adventure. It feels like it's a little bit less exciting. It was much more of the kind of psychological side. Oh, sorry. I'm not sick.
Oh, my God.
You get... Gollum is introduced, which is another like it's a very interesting thing. What a weird tidbit from behind the from on the set. Apparently, Sam Wise, who is played by Sean Astin. That one. We didn't get to see him a lot. He didn't really get to flex too much his acting and everything in the first one. They said on set, like he for some reason just felt it necessary for art to replicate life. And like he became Elijah Wood's like keeper. He helped him a ton. He would do stuff for him, and just to kind of like get that bond and to get that connection. He said one of the things he Elijah. I was like, damn it. he would lock his keys in his house a lot, And then he'd be like, yeah, then I would show up. I'd call the locksmith, let him go on his day. And then I would just find him later in the day when I have key, and I'll just get him his key and stuff like that. You know, he's a very important person, you know, just to show. And I think it translates with their acting and the relationship that's on screen. I do think
they
translates.
Seem super close. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's an interesting relationship because it's like, are they friends? Are they, you know, acquaintances? Are they like
lovers,
you know? Are they lovers? Are they just like, is this more of like a business type relationship of, you know, because he keeps calling him Mr. Frodo so much. And that seems more of like a respectful thing to do, but something you would say like to your boss, not necessarily to your friend.
Well, so I don't know if you caught this in the first movie, but he does say that he was his gardener. Like he like attended to the garden and the flowers for Frodo and Bilbo.
Sorry, that was the worst time to freeze because you said it froze at. I don't know if you got this.
I only say it once, man.
Done. Move on. Good luck. Godspeed. You get to watch. Hey, you have to listen to the episode to figure out what he said.
All right, cool. As long as you keep that part in.
So I'll say it again for your sake. But they say in the first movie that Sam is Bilbo's and Frodo's gardener. So gotcha. He tends to their flowers and garden outside the front. And that's why Gandalf finds him out like and hits him in the head through the window. Because he was tending to the garden and then I heard stuff.
They certainly don't explain. It's one of those things that they don't like tell you exactly like, I tend to the gardens. That's why, you know, he's professional and stuff. But it is hinted at. They've referenced, you know, even in this one. Faramir,
You said Faramir?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. I think it's F-U-R is spell how it's spelled. Faramir.
Oh, really? In my mind,
it was F-A-R.
Yes, that's what I thought.
I saw.
I thought I remembered it always as F-U.
Yeah, no, F-A-R. Faramir.
Sorry. Whoa, Jeff, chill out. I'm just asking about a name.
Man.
Holy crap. But yeah, he references like gardeners must be a well-respected. I forgot exactly what he said, but he like compliments
Hobbit gardeners are like the kings of the Shire,
That's what it is, which is just a asinine thing to say. Like, come on, dude. That was stupid. You could have paid me an actual compliment. That's insane.
Right? Like, come on, man. But no, yeah. So that relationship, that's interesting to kind of watch as well. And yeah, that definitely felt like more of the B story of this movie. Even though that's technically, you know, again, like the whole point of why this entire trilogy is happening is that story right there. And it took a back seat. And I thought that was also a really smart move on Peter Jackson's part to go, no, we're going to focus on our side characters. We're going to flesh them out a lot more. We're going to see what happens with them. And we're not going to leave them in the background because there's not really as much that Frodo and Sam and Faramir really kind of and Gollum really do. Gollum. Like, it's I feel like a lot less than what everybody else goes through.
Yeah. Well, I like sort of juxtaposition between the two, though. Like there's all the humans and elves races and stuff like and how those battles are being waged between all of them and like Sauron's forces and whatnot. But
trying to come together kind of.
Yeah. But on the side you have hobbits can't really like fight. You know what I mean? They have to sneak and like they have to do their thing. They're like trying to sneakily get through to like finish their task, and like we get to see all the like neat places that they have to go through, and there's like all the humans with the Oliphants, and then there's like the swamps, and like I just like that there's the difference kind of like the sort of different things going on between the two.
I think it set it so perfectly too, because it's like when they've thought about the rings and the power, and like in general, you would be like, oh, we need someone to march into Mordor and destroy this ring. And it's like, okay, let's go find the big strong king. Let's find the wizard. And it's like, no, you need somebody to like sneak in. Like hobbits are built for it.
One does
like,
not simply perfect. Walk into Mordor.
Damn right they do. Suck it. You're dead, bitch. Because he tried to steal the ring. He brought it upon himself.
He did.
But you just reminded me, interesting fact about the sneaking portion of the like Frodo and Sam's journey. I don't know if you guys noticed this during the scenes. Like Matt, you've seen this movie more than a few times at least, and then Brandon, this is your first viewing. But when Sam falls and
the rock.
He throws the cloak over them and it looks perfectly like a rock. Dude. For years I was like, How is like that even possible? But apparently hobbits have a little bit of magic that allows them to do like stealthy shit like that.
Huh. Really?
So that's the thing.
I wrote ahead, that Brandon. Down too, and I heard the line was these elvish cloaks will, you know, mm-hmm. do something. And I was like, oh, mm-hmm. those are elvish. So that's why they have a little bit of
It might be the combination. It might be the combination.
Yeah, if they have that, yeah.
But that would make sense because, I mean, like, technically, when you think about it, the hobbits are just living out in a field, but we never see them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the ints in the fucking forest, you know, stuff mm-hmm. like that, where it's like, these are some. That was so creepy. That was so.
You, I saw that
dude,
too.
Did it disappear?
Dude, no, it like shrunk into like the shrunk middle of your you. Face, dude. It was so funny. It didn't just disappear. It like shrunk into you. It like you were drinking it. Yeah, that was the weirdest thing. And no one's going to see it because somebody else was talking when you did that. I feel bad about that. But yeah, because we forget these are like magical, mythical creatures and mm-hmm. not just, you know, because not everybody's human, right? They all look kind of human because they're mm-hmm. human beings. But like, you know, the hobbits aren't humans. The elves aren't mm-hmm. humans and stuff like that. So we do forget about that like magical side of it. And, you know, we go on a field and there's just fucking rocks and, you know, mounds that apparently there's a door into the side of. And if we looked around, you know, we'd find a little fucking hobbits. But I do, I love that rock scene. Mm-hmm. It looks so fucking good. And
they had to have like painted that thing or like touched it up in some way to make it look that good.
Can you imagine how long they sat there probably to then touch it up and be like, no, you have to hold your arm, because they stayed, which I'm so happy that they did. And they didn't just go, mm-hmm. oh, it looks like a rock. And then they cut mm-hmm. away and then they cut back and they're just like up and moving.
I love that they did it like,
yep, you got a long shot and then they flipped it over and you could see them sitting there with it was such good. Just mm-hmm. the, God, because I want to talk more about Frodo and Gollum specifically, mm-hmm. but like mm-hmm. the I want to at some point remind me about the orc makeup, because I thought that was fantastic. Like the fucking makeup, like last one was good, but I think this one was like it took a step up.
Yeah,
Before we get to that, how did we think of, because it wasn't makeup. Hey, that's my transition. It wasn't makeup. On Gollum, it was CG, mm-hmm, and I was wondering how everybody thought about the Gollum CG, and this mm-hmm. really, like, this is the birth of Andy Serkis, right? Like, this mm-hmm, is where this is where it all started, and it's gone. Hey, for people who don't know, fantastic franchises, we did a Planet of the Apes. I feel like it's gone mm-hmm. so far. You know, that was another one that he was a part of, but mm-hmm. but what did you guys think of, Jeff, what do you think of Gollum?
I mean,
CG and everything.
Yeah, it's been year like it's been a little while since I've seen the Two Towers again. And in watching it, I think the CG generally looked pretty good still. Like you can kind of tell in some scenes when it's like close up on his eyes mm-hmm. and things like that it is CG. That's what I noticed.
See, like,
I still think the details are there, but I still feel like it's not to the point of like some of our most pristine CG that we have. I don't know.
Oh, I agree with that. But my favorite CG shots were when it was close and he was kind of just like hanging out saying something. Like I thought those looked fantastic. I thought the awful ones are like the wides with Frodo and Sam and he's like running around on the ground and stuff. And I was like, that looks bad to me.
To me, there was like a happy medium of like when it was like medium shots or like somewhat pulled back a bit.
Okay.
I accidentally rose my hand. Forgot that was a thing.
Oh yeah. I raised my hand.
The wizard, even as a wizard, Brandon still can't do it.
Fucking bitch ass wizard.
But no, I mean, I think it holds up really well still. And this, I think the Two Towers took CG to another level compared to what the Fellowship of the Ring did. Because I think the best CG in the Fellowship was the Balrog to me. Like, whether it was like, you know, they hit it in some ways or whatever, but I thought those details looked really good. But in this one, like the things like the dragons and stuff, and like they looked really good to me.
Or the wyverns or whatever they are. Yeah, I will piggyback off of that and kind of echo what Matt said is like, I didn't love Gollum CGI. There was a couple of shots where I was like, oh, that actually does look pretty good. And I think some of the like the extreme close-ups might have been some of the better moments that we had with Gollum, because I guess, you know, they refined those a little bit more, but it definitely is showing its age with that. and was a little bit kind of goofy in my opinion, and felt very much like, all right, this is I'm honestly struggling to kind of keep being bought into all of this because like it's such a glaring CGI, you know, animal creature versus trying to do any kind of makeup with everything else that looks so good, or a mixture of CGI and makeup like that, you know, really blends really well. So yeah, that one, the CGI was not my favorite, with Gollum, like almost at all, but yeah, Andy Serkis absolutely just beyond crushes the voices and, I would say the mannerisms, but the inflections and everything, that his voice lends is absolutely astounding.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't know. None of it ever like was, took me out of the entire fucking movie. You know, it was never to that level to me. But I can see where you're saying, as I said, there was definitely sections that were not great. I think overall, this movie CG was way better. Was better than the first one. I think the first one had more CG warts than this one overall. Other than the Gollum, which I mean we have our different levels at, but like other than Gollum, I think maybe once or twice that I'm like, that's kind of bad. But other than that,
I was gonna say the only one CG that really stuck out to me this time was like the big battle of Helm's Deep. Like there were some like, you know, when the sheer scale of like the amount of like Uruk-hai and stuff like that that they had, like you could tell that there were some shots that were CG. But it's crazy, dude.
They got a bunch of extras. Bunch of extras.
Well, they had that too.
Yeah, but not that.
Hey, that's how they used to do it, man.
But not like the 10,000. No, yeah, they CG'd a bunch of that, which is one of the first times that they CG'd. How another CG kind of one. And speaking of Mary and Pippin. Treebeard specifically looked fantastic to me. The other Ents, though, when they showed up, I was like, okay, those are CG. But the Treebeard, I was sitting there going, did they just build that set and the hobbits are riding it? Because that's what it looked like on the close-up.
I think they did that for some parts of it, though, right?
Yeah, for some parts, yeah, that looked super, super realistic.
So I fucking loved
it. And then,
it.
Like, with a green screen in the back. And then there are other parts where it's like, well, I don't really know where they're fucking sitting.
Yeah.
I love Treebeard as a whole. That was a great story.
I love the Ents, dude. Just the Ents scene and stuff like that. Oh.
Yeah.
Finally.
March of the Ents. That was cool.
We were just saying hello. I thought it was so funny that I wrote down that the Pippin, what was it? Dang it. One of them was drinking the water. Yeah, Mary was drinking the Pippin was drinking the water. Because Mary's the tall one, right? and he referenced, everybody knows I'm the tall one. And I was like, yes, I told you already. I knew it. And then he was tall. And then he was taller than him. And I noticed it for like most of the movie until the very end.
What scene was this? Did you watch the extended version?
Yeah.
Because for some reason I did not watch the extended version.
Oh, you loser. What an idiot.
Was this supposed to be a thing? I didn't know we were watching all the extended ones.
Well, he already tried to bail out of it, and I was like, well, you're stuck now, bitch.
Okay. Oh, man, so that means I have to watch the extended Return of the King. Okay. Yeah, that means that movie's going to be closer to 4 hours.
Yeah, get your life together, bro. Start it tonight. 30-minute sections. 30-minute sections.
No, what I liked, like, the Ents were really, really cool, and that was a good storyline. One of the things I really liked with that storyline was... kind of akin to what's happening in the real world today, or continues to happen in the real world, is like, it's not our fight. It's not our problem. And so we're just not going to deal with it until it becomes their problem. And then they fucking go ballistic. And it just is, again, kind of akin to a lot of realities for most people is, nah, I'm good. I'm going to stay out of it until it personally affects me.
Yeah. And, well, they literally say it's not their war.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Like it's like that's such. Yeah, I agree. That's
small quibble. Nice. It took so long for them to get together. It took so long for them to discuss and talk and just wake up. And then Treebeard walked out, screamed, and 1,000 of them showed up, and they were like, oh, sweet, we're going to war? I'm fine with this. Like, I'm down with you. Like,
whatever Treebeard says.
Democracy now is, now it's a fucking dictatorship, where he's like, hey, we're going to fight, and everyone's like, okay, sweet, I thought we discussed things, but whatever.
Maybe they're like Aspens, and they just, like, they're all one entity.
Oh, maybe. Hey, maybe. Well, then why? So then why did he jerk Marion Pippin around talking to himself the whole time?
Yeah. It's just a theory. I don't know. I'll have to do more research.
My actual theory about why they decided so quickly without having to rediscuss going to war is because that was like the sacred trees, and that was, you know, something that was really, you don't touch, you don't mess with. And so when everybody else is like, coming to see, hey, what the hell is he screaming about, or understands what
why
that is Treebeard
screaming?
Is. Yeah. And so they're all like, oh, you know what? Fuck it. Fuck it. We're coming. We're doing this.
Yeah.
I don't know. They tore those trees up a long time ago, and there are trees. There are other trees that are still standing near there. They didn't say shit the whole time. Like, oh, God. Yeah. I didn't know you would be upset about it, Treebeard. I'm so sorry. I would have said something. He froze.
I did freeze.
Have you said
I'm assuming it's because those trees can't talk. The trees that could talk got ripped down.
Yeah,
trees
sure.
That
we'll go
could
with that.
Talk got ripped out.
Well, yeah, because that's what he says is Treebeard comes out and he's like, these trees could talk.
Some of them were my friends.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think about that in the sense of that he could understand them, but like maybe they didn't physically talk.
No, you know I think they I think they physically talked. That's what I believe.
This is your first viewing. Hold on.
It would have been Ents. I know, right? Chill out, dude. He's like, no.
That's what I believe.
Technically, in the movie, I haven't read the book.
Were they maple or
like if they could talk like him, they would be Ents, not necessarily trees. But anyway,
before we move on to everything else, I just want to kind of mention how splitting everybody
up. I got
up,
ignored. Go ahead.
Well, because you know you're right, and I don't want to give you the
I just
that credit.
The pause. Well,
fight the power
before we move on. What? I was gonna dance around in my victory, but whatever. Go ahead.
I like that by splitting the group up, like they did at the end of the first one, and then following the different groups as they went around the world, shows us more of the world in a more natural sense. And it feels a lot easier to kind of get through all of this and see the different cool things that are out there, like the Ents and like those war dogs and all that kind of stuff. So that's really, really cool. But I do want to clarify something because I don't understand why Aragorn and Legolas and Gimli, why they stopped going after Pippin and Merry because they went into that forest. Like, they're like, oh, shit, they went into the forest.
So they went in and then they bumped into Gandalf the White. And Gandalf the White said,
That's right.
I saw them.
Yes.
I already gave them to
them.
He sent
them
off. Yeah. We have a different mission. And then
thank you.
Shifted them to fighting for their people. Well, not Gimli. I love that just the elf, Legolas and Gimli are just like around for the ride. Like, none of this has shit to do with them, basically. Especially Gimli. Have we seen a single dwarf in this entire thing yet?
Not since the first one.
Mm-mm. It's Gimli, the people he showed up to the meeting with, and that's it. Yep, so he's just like, fuck it, dude. This is fun. What else am I going to do?
I like hanging with humans and elves.
I know. They can throw me and shit. This elf guy.
They keep running, and I just keep like chasing after them, falling behind.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was the second most unrealistic thing about this movie. Is that there's no fucking way that Gimli kept up in any way, shape, or form with those.
Hey,
with
dwarves are tough. They'll push through it. Well, they'll push through the pain.
I don't care if they push through the pain. He has littler legs. And if my experience is anything from walking with short fucking people, they don't keep up well.
Jeff, he's talking about you.
I don't know. He didn't reference me.
Yeah, deep down he was referencing you. It was so funny that like they feel like they did like they copied the same scene twice where Legolas stopped. Said something weird.
Come on, Gimli.
And then, Gimli. And then Gimli said something. Then they just did it again with a different line. And then he's like, come on, Gimli. Like, bitch, we already heard you. Like, I got it. They're running far. Like, damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Gimli was still funny the entire freaking time.
Yeah, he was great. The most unrealistic thing, because I don't know when we're going to get back to this, is the fact that nobody tried to kill the old king. when he was under the spell. Like, he's fragile. There's no way that that everybody just was like, yeah, no. He's totally fine. He's absolutely, you know, of sound mind.
So you think his people should have killed him? Is that what you're curious about?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
That seems weird. Yeah. If anything, they should have tried to kill Wormtongue.
Yeah.
I was about to call him Wormtail.
I know. He's such a Wormtail.
I would assume that they would try to kill Wormtongue instead of the king. But I do understand what you're saying. I mean, it did it again. It's so cool. every time you do it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep.
Your whole camera zoomed in. Yeah, it is a little unrealistic. Like, it's very obvious. You'd think, like, the soldiers that are standing in those rooms that are, like, protecting them would be like, I mean, clearly that dude's just, like, freaking possessed him and he's controlling him and I don't like him. And so we should separate him from everybody and then wake this dude up. Like, I do agree with that.
Yeah.
My assumption is there's more magic going on than we know about. Because, you know, we kind of... Yeah. We show up with them. We're kind of mostly on the side of Aragorn, the other, you know, the three, the trio plus Mr. White.
Mr. White.
but that's one of them.
My argument for them not going after the king though as well would be I didn't catch if they said how long he's been like not himself and whatnot. If it was fairly recent, I mean, he seems like he's a good king, right? Like, he seems like he cares about his people and whatnot. Right. So if it was a short amount of time, I could see why people would be like, I don't know why he's like, acting so weird. Like, why? What's going on?
Yeah, but like when they separate him and they clear the spell, which then I love Gandalf's doing exactly what Wormtongue was doing.
I know.
Just sitting right next to him and like giving him advice and telling him that
the king gives to Gandalf when he puts his hand on the throne. He's like, bitch.
Well, at least he's freaking awake and he's like doing that. But like the difference between him under spell and not under spell, I love the thought that it happened like overnight. None of these soldiers are like, that's weird. Wasn't he like a healthy, much younger man like last night? He woke up and looked like he aged like 40 years. This is weird.
Yeah, man, that's what being a king will do to you. Look at what happened with Obama. Yeah.
Hey, very true.
I agree.
Speaking of the trio running around following Merry and Pippin, I really, my favorite makeup of this entire thing is the freaking orcs makeup. I thought was just so fucking good. The teeth, the skin on the face. God,
are you referring to when like Merry and Pippin and them are all stopped and like they're thinking about eating them?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the scene you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, they looked fucking great, dude.
Dude, I thought they looked perfect.
Even during the other battles as well, like when Aragorn falls off the cliff, that battle, they look great. Mm-hmm. The final battle with the Uruk-hai as well, I thought that those again look just disgusting and despicable and truly like what you would think of as a villain in a fantasy realm.
Agreed.
The makeup went real hard. Good job.
Just all of it. Even like the king, like we just talked about, the king looking old and disgusting. It looked like him. Like that. I mean, I didn't second guess it for a second until you know he turns to nice, and I'm like, yeah, you know what? He did look like shit. I agree with that.
Well, it's funny every time I've seen that, like, because there's that transition shot that they do from him looking like basically a ghoul or whatever, and then turns into a normal human being.
He's living in a cave for 10 years.
Yeah, like it looks like to me they did like a dissolve or something. Like every time I watch it was like
old school Flash where you're just like, okay, layer this on top of this and then we'll fade out.
And then
of
we'll just fade to him looking normal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which they blended it pretty well, honestly. Like it fooled me for a long time. And then now I notice it.
Yeah, I was going to say. Oh, considering the time, which is only 1 year after the previous one, which is.
Is that when it came out? Was it 2003?
Two. No, 2002. Because the last one was 2001. Then this is 2002. Which is another thing that's like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get too far away from the Ints. Does either of you know who the voice of Treebeard was?
I don't remember. No.
Nah, so nothing jumped out at you of who this could be?
No, nothing. Nothing.
This person is already a character in Lord of the Rings.
I feel like I know that, but I don't know. Oh, I can't quite place it.
No, who is it?
He's the comedy relief. It's Gimli. Gimli is the voice of Treebeard.
I was going to say, either him or Count Dooku.
Count Dooku. That would be funny. That would have been perfect if they did Count Dooku, because that he's the, you know, they go destroy Isengard.
I know, the irony.
Isengard. They're taking
the hobbits are going to Isengard.
Isengard.
Every time I watch it, and then he does that line, I'm like, Isengard. It's a good line, though. Good line, though.
Yeah.
Weird, unless somebody wants to jump in, I have a weird, like, I wrote down, I don't think I was supposed to laugh at it, but it felt like such corporate America when Count Dooku, speaking of him, was like talking to the orc and was like, I want this many by this time. And then guy's like, we don't have enough time. He's like, classic corporate America. The boss is just demanding. The manager's like, come on, you got to give me more time. That's not reasonable. At least give me another week on this deadline. And I just love it. He's like, burn all the trees. It's like, we get corporate America even in freaking
even in Middle Earth.
Yep. I do love the line, to bring it back, I love the line, the old world will burn in the fires of industry. Mm. It's like, oh, that's badass.
Dude.
It's evil, but it's badass.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I feel like you read the books. I'm sure there'd be so many quotes that you'd love of just like
I'm sure
this man. It,
honestly, this is making me want to reconsider not reading the books for so long and give it a try.
I think they're really long.
I know. That's why I said it's making me reconsider.
I think they're long and dense.
I do love
number one overall, Sudan.
Ah, nice, good callback. I loved. Legolas's line is like, "Oh, the red sun rises. Blood has been spilled." This, and I'm like, "Bro, have you never seen a sunrise? Like, they all look like that."
Well, he was right, though. Technically,
I know. Shut up. He was right. God damn it.
I know one of the his random ass lines.
another question for you guys. So Gandalf doesn't remember himself, right? And when they meet him, and he's and they're like, Gandalf. Yo, he's like.
That
guess
is what
I
you used to call me.
He's like, huh?
Yeah.
Weird. Well, you could call me Gandalf the White. I just find it weird that his name is the same, even though he forgot his name.
We're going to stick with Gandalf.
I'm going to stick with what you call me, because I'm going to trust you. But so if he doesn't even remember himself, like, does he actually remember everybody else?
Well, so there, honestly, I mean, here's the problem. I agree with you, because again, Jeff and I work together, so we kind of talked about this. I think it is they kind of fucked up, I think, because I agree. He's like, yes, you used to call me this. So like, he doesn't even remember what people used to call him. But then not that long after, Aragog was like, oh yeah, Samwise went with him. And he's like, oh, that's good. Oh, so now he knows Samwise? Like, he didn't even fucking remember his name?
Well, who doesn't know Samwise?
That's a good point. He's a wise Sam.
He's the wisest of Sams.
But yeah, I think that's one of the like kind of messes up, because
a
little bit of
there's other stuff. It's a cute line, and it's hilarious, and he's a different person.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of
still confuses me.
Yeah, they kind of bail on that.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it kind of like the king's like amnesia? Like after the king like comes back from his spell, you know, he's like. His memories are slowly starting to come back and, you know, remember everything that happened. I'm wondering, maybe that's also kind of what happened with Gandalf, is like the more that he interacts with people, the more he kind of talks about stuff, the more he starts to remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
Someone said Gandalf the Grey, and all his memories came flooding back.
Well, he was even like tricking him. He's like, totally. I'm wearing a gray cloak. I'm Gandalf the Grey. Definitely.
I loved him hunched over when they're walking in there.
I'm just an old man.
It wouldn't take an old man's staff. He never uses his powers as much as I want him to. Even when like they're when they're riding in, like at the end, he just
shines.
starts bashing people with his staff rather than like doing anything magical.
That's how powerful he is. He doesn't even need to. These are peasants. I'm gonna hit you with my staff like I'm Rafiki or whatever. What's fucking
yeah? No, it's Rafiki. Yeah. Yeah. Nailed it.
Thank you. Whoop whoop. All right.
Okay. So another question. Uh-huh. Another question. We're jumping a bit here because there were several times at this movie I stopped taking notes and just went, I'm just gonna fucking watch. And then after like the battle started, the final battle, I was like, I don't think I took a note. I just fucking was mesmerized by it. So
I did not take a note for all of Helm's Deep. Yeah, the Battle of Helm's Deep.
Yeah, exactly. I was just like enthralled by it. I loved it.
Yep.
But what? So Aragorn was married or had a relationship with Arwen.
Of course, he remembers Arwen's name.
Actually, well, because I wrote it down.
Okay.
Is she actually dying, or because then all of a sudden, like I thought the whole thing was no, she has to go off with her people, or she's gonna die here.
So that's well, yeah. So there's a whole thing based around that that goes into the third movie and stuff like that.
Okay.
I don't 100% really understand it myself, but them leaving on the ship to the land of I forget what they call it. It's like the
Arwen.
Well, it's like the land of like undying or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or it's like the next
lost
like,
world
tier in like I don't know. Jurassic like, moving on into the life. I don't know. Something like that. I don't quite understand it.
It is up to interpretation, and it is vague. It will be vague in the next movie as well. Still.
Okay.
Okay. It is very much kind of your interpretation. It gives a very we're gonna die vibe. But I think like the distinguish would be you die, quote unquote, here and stay on Earth as a fucking mortal instead of passing on as an elf into quote unquote, you know. Hypothetically, if it's them passing on to heaven, so it'd be like,
right,
you know, them passing on to their personal heaven because they're an elf still, they decide to do it, they're immortal anyway, so they choose to cross the river, or are you going to stay here with the humans and become mortal and just fucking die like a normal person instead of passing on to like
so that's but the that's other thing that's vibe.
That's what well, that, I
and that's well that's what
they
I
talk about
too.
They that's the thing that gets confusing because they also talk about the fact that like why would you want to be with a human because you'll just outlive him and he'll die and like you'll just keep living on as a widow and stuff like that.
Yeah, that whole scene so, where he dies becomes a statue and she's still standing there.
So
it's like,
to me in my head that is it's the idea that like elves, I don't know if they actually die of age now that I think about it. So them like accepting the fact that their life is done, that this is them moving on to wherever they're going. I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know if that's actually like if they're actually dying or whatever, but that's
kind
of
well
the
if
impression
anybody
I
listening
get.
Or watching knows like this part in particular, send us a message. Let us know what the fuck's going on with this, because we're all confused.
Yeah, why does Agent Smith want her to go so bad?
Seriously. Oh right, because he's the like in the Matrix. He wants her to not be self-aware.
Is this the Matrix or is he getting him getting her into the Matrix? That's the Matrix.
Oh fuck!
Like,
that's
so he's
right.
That'd be an insane Matrix. Oh
yeah, this
God.
Is like a what if where he's going into other universes.
Oh,
and
can
other...
you imagine if you're an orc and you wake up a human?
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. I think I'd be more pissed if I'm a fucking elf. I'm an immortal elf that has special powers, and then this motherfucker convinces me to go into a computer.
Can you imagine if you're Legolas and then you go back into the real world and you try and walk on snow and you can't?
Like I just wanted this. Can someone download it? Like I'm a keymaker or whatever it was. I don't remember the movies that well. I remember kind of a future fantastic franchise.
Oh
I'm
yeah,
sure.
Oh
I'm
dude,
sure.
The Matrix is another one I've watched repeatedly. I know a lot about those movies.
Hell yeah,
I know next to nothing.
Have oh you, my you god,
seen I've seen the first one.
Oh, I think
yeah.
What?
I'm trying to think. Do I like the second one better or than the first one? Jeff, which one do you like better?
I personally like the second one the best.
I was going to say, I think the second one's better. I don't know. The first one feels so... Okay, we're not talking about the Matrix. Focus.
Sorry.
God, we can't. Dwarves are natural sprinters. Very dangerous over short distances.
Yeah, fucking yeah. Bang, see?
Banger of a line.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was a good line. That was a good line. I'm like, what? Mm. Oh, why do I feel like I heard that before?
I love the shot at Helm's Deep when they're doing a side, like a slider move from the side, showing all the soldiers on the wall, and then they just cut to like or show the gap where Gimli is, and they where just see Gimli Hop is. Up. He's like, you couldn't have picked a better spot.
God,
I just thought that was so funny.
They're back and forth through the whole. Let's just talk about Helm's Deep for now because we keep jumping to it because it is like it is honestly one of the biggest parts of this.
It is.
Brandon, you asked me before, is like, when I watch this, do I watch it all at once? Do I stand up? You know, it depends on my life. If I'm not doing anything, then I will watch it in all one sitting. But I couldn't make it through all in one night. So I had to stop. And I knew specifically, I was like, I'm stopping before Helm's Deep, the Battle of Helm's Deep. So then I can know, I don't have to split that up, and I can watch, you know, that section. It's not all the Battle of Helm's Deep, because we also watch the Ents attack Isengard. But it's a small potatoes kind of part of it. Like, they defeat them pretty quickly, you know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of just to break up a battle so that it's not just straight 45 minutes straight of a battle. Which I didn't look at the time, but it's got to be damn close to it, because I think when it starts is like an hour left in the movie, so I bet you 35 minutes of that, it's got to be solid. Can you imagine just being like, hey, I'm gonna make a movie, 30 at least 30 minutes is going to be one battle.
Yeah.
But like, well, that's crazy. And if not, it is fucking amazing from the get-go. You paused it also, Jeff. At what point did you pause it before Helm's Deep to then come back?
Let's see. I pause. Where the fuck did I pause?
God, you were so specific when I talked to the other
I know. Now
I
I'm
really
blanking.
Thought I'd throw it to you and you'd be like,
I know.
It.
You told me now.
right when as it starts to rain. And you hit the horn and you hear
yes
the horn.
Well, I didn't pause it there, but yes, I always you were telling me that you you wanted to stop it before Helm's Deep, and I was just like, well, just so you know, it's like, I just know the battle starts as soon as it starts raining, it's on.
it is badass. And Game of Thrones can take note. It was middle of the night, it was rainy, and we could still see fucking everything, like, easily.
I mean, was it supposed to be raining the entire time? Because it didn't look like it was raining the entire time.
I think it stopped like later. Definitely when it got into the morning, and then they went inside at one point. It definitely stopped at some point. But the beginning was rainy and ominous.
Now that you
and
mentioned
then
it, I think
and it slows. It stops.
I think it stopped raining after the wall blows up, now that I think about it.
Yeah, because I mean, they're battling on the walkway. They're not raining at all. There and stuff like that.
Ooh, speaking of which, did you notice where the Wilhelm scream was?
That was gonna be my question to Matt.
Oh yeah, they kicked the orc off, dude. I forgot that I was even
that was a human.
Oh, whatever it was, it was off the top of the wall. I forgot that I was supposed to be listening to it, and then I was like, "Oh, Wilhelm. Oh wait, wasn't Jeff?"
They make it pretty clear.
I was like,
"Yeah, that was very clear. That was not hidden at all. It was very
that was a center frame."
They were like, "Somewhere we gotta throw this fucking scream in here."
Yeah, for people who don't know what that scream is, I'm not gonna explain it. You have to listen to one of the episodes. We've explained it many, many times.
So many times.
Maybe the next time I'll explain it. It's a lot. But yeah, so the Battle of Wilhelm.
Wilhelm's Deep.
The Battle of Wilhelm's Deep.
This is where it spawned. You can tell them this. At Helm's Deep is where the scream originated.
I love that. I love the Olympic torch runner.
Dude, I always thought of him that way as well. Yeah, they're just like,
that is an Olympic run right there.
I would have thought somebody would like grabbed it and like continued on or something like that. Legolas suddenly has bad aim now. Like,
well, he hit him every time.
Shoulder. What are we aiming at, homie? I don't know where the orc's hearts are.
I would have hit him in the hand so they dropped the torch. Honestly,
I would
have
shot him
me
in the fucking face.
Yes.
What he had? Didn't he have a full helmet?
Okay,
on?
Not on his mouth though. Shoot through his like throat. I don't know.
I mean, shoot him
20 times.
Well, the thing is, he was able to hit how many of them in the neck, right? In between the plates of armor and their helmet.
Earlier,
like,
Jeff.
Come on, man. One time
sticking
that they need
Legolas.
It.
But this one, he hit him like right in the neck, and this one just kept running, though.
I guess he shot him like somewhere, like collarbone.
Got him like twice, like right there, yeah.
Doesn't matter, didn't work.
Good point.
It's Legolas' fault.
Gimli, because he's so short. Fuck it. Let's blame the short
people. I love their counter. I love that they fucking have the kill counter.
Which between Gimli, the two of them. Gimli obviously won because that dude was so dead with the axe at the end, and he freaking wiggled it. And the dude, like, I loved it. Gimli just sitting on top of the body at the end of the battle, being like, "Well, it's because he's got my axe in his nervous system," and he like wiggles it, and the body like wiggles. I thought that was fantastic.
Extended scene. I definitely didn't see that.
I was going to ask Jeff, another extended scene that I wonder if you had is at the imps with Merry and Pippin at the end of their battle, the ints despite.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said imps, and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, sorry. Ents. I'm sure I did. they defeat it, and then Merry and Pippin find like the food cabinet, like closet.
Uh huh.
Did you
that
do
is not that? Nope, that's no, not okay. Not in the theatrical
there's,
version.
Yeah, there's a what? It's a bunch of fresh fruit, like apples and stuff, and then they find barrels of basically weed. That's what they found.
Mm.
I mean, yes. Right, Brandon? Am I crazy?
I think that's what that was.
It's dried plants that they're super excited to consume.
I would assume then. Yeah,
I don't remember. I'm trying to remember if they said smoke or not, but they're consuming it. They're very excited.
Consume.
They don't want to share with Treebeard because I mean, like, they're dead plants, so he might get offended. He might have been friends with them, so that was the logic, which I was down with. Because yeah, nice. Go pothead hobbits. But
how is most of their bag not fucking pot, though? To be honest with you, like, they don't smoke in this movie at all.
I know they're very good. Well, because they're around Treebeard, and he's not really like into that. Be like, you're burning my friends, bro. I knew that weed. Battle
you're telling
Helm's
me Treebeard doesn't get high? Come on now.
That's very true. That is very true. I know real life Treebeard definitely does. So one of the great things I think about the battle is all of like the ladders I think were so cool. Mm-hmm. Like the war strategy and actual like felt like an army, not just, oh, we're going to run head first and just slam into the wall, you know, and like we're zombies building up a wall. But
actually had tactics. Like they could talk. I didn't realize that orcs could talk. Or was that an orc or an Uruk-hai?
Uruk-hai are the tall ones.
Right.
And like tall, beastly ones. The orcs are like goblins almost.
No, they both can talk. Because like when Pippin and Merry, which to me is kind of weird, Merry and Pippin are... where they all stopped and they're arguing, but it's Uruk-hai
and orcs.
Orcs are arguing about who to eat and blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. And but it is weird that they're just like they're just dudes. Like that's what it feels like. I think of them as mythical, like mindless killing machines, and then they're like, no, the boss wants these people unspoiled, which is like another.
Well, have you seen? Were you just referencing the meme of that scene? There's literally a meme where it's just like office people voices. They're like. They're like, meat's back on the menu, boys.
I've not seen that.
No. Oh, it's so funny, dude. I thought you were totally referencing that. They literally go through the lines and just say it in like regular people voices.
That's great. Sorry, I derailed that completely. But yeah, no, Matt, like the tactics that these creatures have. I thought it was more impressive because half of them couldn't talk, but no, that they are able to communicate and you know have different strategies into how to win this battle besides just brute force. We're gonna blow up the wall. We're gonna slam everything. Mm-hmm. That was really really interesting.
Yeah, and one particularly that was interesting was the ramp though. Like they did the almost like the 300 style like battle style where they had the shields on all sides, so they couldn't get hit by the arrows. But then it was also interesting because once they started bringing that like battling ram thing, they just like went through the center and then all the edge Uruk-hai and stuff just fell off
fell off.
I just thought that was silly, but it's like. Yeah. That's bad guy tactics.
No care for the
everyone's dispensable.
There's like a million of them.
10,000.
But I mean, when he's like, there's 300 of us against like 10,000 of them. And I was like, Sparta, 300? Anybody? Nobody?
Yep.
There is a shit ton of them. One of the way they did it is interesting because it was like one of the first times it wasn't just like straight CG because there's freaking thousands of them. So it's like a computer system that they set up rules for the characters and then they just like copied a bunch of them. And it was just like when they were presented in a situation, they had a list of things that they could do, prioritize. Well, they ended up prioritizing them because they had a problem where a lot of them would run away. Like large groups of them would all run away to like a hill and stay there because they had one of the some of the problems in their list of priorities that they would do was one of the things was if you're in a small crowd, look for space. Because if you're in a tight knit, so they kind of want them to spread out. Mm-hmm. Another one would be run until you see an enemy. And then another one was when in doubt, follow your buddy. And so what would happen was some of them would look for space, which would be the open field of a hill. Then they would run until they get an enemy, which there were no enemies. And if there were any around them that were in conflict and didn't know what to do, they'd follow their buddy. So then like 700 of them would like run away. That's and so, they had to start prioritizing like what each action they would do, attack,
this
die.
Literally sounds like discussions of like telling AI what to do.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Really early AI, like kind of like very low skin. It's so interesting to me. Like part of this freaking movie that they had was Weta Digital discovering, we have problems with this computer software if we're not more specific of what to do.
Which is so, just fascinating.
Oh, my God.
Fascinating.
It is so impressive, the amount of the... God, so impressive. So impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and again, just, you know, the CG was good, you know, great for the time, still good today, not as good as it is, but just... To see the evolution of
think,
where
Jeff?
Specifically,
but not as good as what?
Where Weta
is back. Sorry. I can't guess anymore.
Just specifically of where Weta has come.
I just wanted
to finish that thought for the actual recording. But to re-summarize was like, I just found it incredible to be able to watch the evolution of CGI and like specifically this one company of like what Weta did in the early 2000s and now with a couple years ago with Avatar Way of Water, just how hyper realistic it looks is just mind blowing. How far they've come. It's
a lot
super,
of those,
super cool.
Yeah, but a lot of those whales would fly away from the set. Like they would swim away from the set. So they had to change their priorities.
Right. Right.
Hey-o.
That's good. Funny.
Well, so I can't remember if I sent you guys the video. There's another thing that's like really bonkers to me in terms of like the scale of what they did for like these battles. But there was like a video with that like sound page that I share with you guys occasionally where they, for the two towers, they recorded like 25,000 fans from like a stadium like game
or
something.
I don't remember if it was rugby or a soccer match, but
something
he comes
like that.
Out. He comes out at halftime and is like, all right, so this is what you're going to say.
Yeah, they have them do the chants for the Uruk-hai, and that's what they use for the like Uruk-hai during the battles when they're like right before they start attacking and stuff.
Yeah.
That's super fascinating that they do that kind of scale of like audio recordings and stuff.
Hell yeah. These people are awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's all I had.
Mm-hmm.
One of my last gripes, logic-wise, was... I feel like the horses when the cavalry arrives, I feel like those horses would be stumbling and falling down
the steep grade, like the grade.
That's really
I think about
that
too.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I would trip.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's no way that they are able to ride in a battle and battle on that hill without any of them falling.
See, I'm with you. I thought you were going to say a different horse thing that I kind of have an issue with, which I also kind of have an issue with that. The horse thing that I have is they're like hunkered down and they're like, oh, we're going to die. There's so many of them. We're surrounded. And then they're like, ride out with me. And then they turn around. And they're like, they have fucking 7 horses. Where the hell were these horses 5 minutes ago? And then also they're just like mowing through them. I'm like, these guys, they're not like paper, like they're fucking flesh and bone. The horses aren't like, they're strong. They're not that strong.
Hey,
like,
they're tanks.
Right. The amount of spears that they're able to withstand. Yeah.
I know. No, not one of them like swung their sword at it, like a sword leg, horse leg.
I know. Oh, because the Weta didn't tell them to swing at horses.
They didn't prioritize horse high enough.
Right. Right. Just,
the entire battle stopped and they all ran to find a horse.
Oh man!
What is this creature?
Jeff, random sound thing. Absolutely was in love with the sound of Smeagol hitting the fish on the rock.
Mm, okay.
I don't know if anyone remembers that.
I mean, it sounds so natural to me.
Yeah, Well, like, every time I smack a fish,
that's the thing.
On a
I just
rock,
don't think about
it
because I believe it.
yeah, I know it does just like kind of disappear into the mm-hmm. like forgot that it was even a sound.
Yeah, no, it's like I think they again, honestly, with this movie, just like the score, the sound design, the visuals, like everything's really solid with these movies, dude. Like, I even think it's super interesting. Something occurred to me on this most recent viewing was that, less so the Fellowship in the Ring, but specifically Two Towers in the next movie, they use a color, like muted color tones, similar to like other war movies and stuff like that. Like if you think of like Saving Private Ryan and things like that, they have muted tones, especially like when the hobbits are with Faramir and the dragon and the Nazgul are there. It's just like such a gritty war look, which is super interesting. Which I also really like. It just makes it feel like they're in the middle of this like war-ridden world. Things are crumbling down, and I think it works really well.
I think everyone needs to remember also, like, because I don't know for sure, but based off you saying this and my memory, I bet you the very very end is super colorful. I mean it's got to be like once spoilers, Brandon, not spoilers, but like hypothetically. If they were to win, you know, that'd be crazy because that's definitely not happening. But like after everything, if it happened, it would be very colorful. But I don't remember for sure. But I bet you it's going to be. So we'll just everyone just keep an eye out for that when we watch that.
Mm-hmm.
If it happens,
Still not sure.
it's definitely
Jeff's
not.
Never
I
seen
mean,
the
like,
end of this.
Look at the odds. Come on, yeah. Which end? All 15 ends?
Yeah,
or just like the. They skip to the very end.
Skip to the very, very end. So speaking of sound and visual effects, the Two Towers won best sound editing and best visual effects at the 2003 Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
It was nominated for
best
seven,
editing?
Six, oh. one, two, oh. three, four, six Oscars, including best picture, best art direction, and set decoration. Film editing and best sound,
okay.
But they didn't win for best sound, and they didn't win. And they did win for sound editing.
Mm-hmm.
There was no score nomination. So, what do you guys think about this score versus the first Lord of the Rings score?
I mean, they both just worked really well, especially honestly, this movie, the whole ending, the way they wrap it up with like all the characters and this music and everything just hits really hard. And I think it works really well for this film.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just the score kills every time.
Yeah. I always think, I don't know. It is honestly, it's really hard sometimes for this. Franchise specifically for me is it all bleeds together. Like it's hard for me to separate the movie of the score of the first one versus the second one. And honestly, it's hard for me sometimes the story wise and where the first movie ends and the second one begins.
Oh, dude,
for,
you know. I had to think about it before during this podcast.
So at no point did it. I liked it just as much as the first one, but I wouldn't be able to tell you the difference if you did a one score one song versus another song, I'd be like Lord of the Rings, we're gonna stick it at that, you know?
yeah
Well, I bring it up because, you know, there's the whole controversy over Dune Part 2 this year getting snubbed out of the Oscar race because it's too much like the first Dune, the score is, and so I was interested to see it on the award circuit for this one, whether or not like the rules had been in place back then or how soon they change, because I know they change all the time, especially for sound and for score. And because while I was watching this, I went, oh yeah, there's the Lord of the Rings, there's the theme, you know, the main theme song. And I was like, oh, I wonder if this is, you know, a direct rip out of the first score and then, you know, maybe flourished a little bit.
That's the thing. From what I know, it used a lot of the same scores and music from the first movie.
It does sound like it to me.
Yeah, but the one that sticks out to me the most for this movie is all the music for the Battle of Helm's Deep. There is a specific score that is only in this movie for that, like that entire battle.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what, obviously I didn't dive deep into this, but I don't know what the percentage is of what the Oscar qualifications are. I don't remember what it is. And so I don't know what the percentage is for the Two Towers, obviously, from the first Lord of the Rings, how much is different. And, it, you know, if because the Battle of Helm's Deep was, like Matt said, probably 35, 40 minutes.
I need to look that up sometime to make sure.
That's it. That's a, I mean, you know, it's a long time. So that's
also
a pretty
extended
good chunk
versus
of the movie.
Not extended. I can't believe you didn't watch the extended, Jeff.
I know. Worst. Whoops.
But
watch, I'll watch the extended for the third one, and you guys won't. And
we'll do the theatrical.
Fuck.
Hey, don't tell him. We'll find out. We'll watch. Yeah, we're gonna watch it. We're gonna watch it at the airport. We're getting there so early.
Yeah. Yep. We're doing a lot of things. I think I'm getting to the airport at 6 a.m. on Saturday.
Unfortunately, we can only go 6 hours before. I looked it up. It's fine.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Just enough time.
We can't just hang out at the fucking airport.
Sure, you can. Kieran Culkin did it in the movie.
Okay. Real quick, the interwebs says the Battle of Helm's Deep in Lord of the Rings: Two Towers is 40 minutes of screen time. Make it one of the longest and most complicated battles ever. They say some cool stuff.
See, there you go. And then in the extended, I'm sure it's like 2 hours long.
Well, also they're lying because it says the battle takes place entirely during an entire rainy night. Lies. Involves significant risks for the heroes. No, there's no risk for Gandalf. You're a loser. All right. Sorry. It might be a lie, but it claims 40 minutes.
Hey, we'll go with 40 minutes because you said it and you were confident, and that's all that we need.
I did kind of accidentally nail it. I guess I said 45. Anyways. Yeah. What's up, guys? How's life? Sorry, I distracted. Hey, Brandon.
Yo.
Jeff doesn't know this either. You guys get to guess. What on the penis rankings? Shit, I lost it. What do you think Zealand is?
New Zealand's got to be...
I'll let Brandon answer first. I have some logic.
I'm going to put 44th.
Okay. So I remember...
Larger than United States.
Yes.
I will also go larger than the United States because I also remember Australia was larger than the United States, and I would think similar
racist,
to Australia.
Those are different
That's
countries.
Racist, but okay.
They are. So, they are.
Wow. Yeah, right. Tell me, Brandon. Well, what you got to give me? You want first, second, 97.
Yeah, let's see. I'm gonna say 27.
It comes in at a very impressive 16th.
Oh shit!
So FYI,
so where's Australia?
We have no shot at any women when we get there. Australia
yourself.
Australia, yeah, that's true. I did see. 13th is Brandon by himself. New Zealand is 16th. Australia is 20th. So pretty damn close. You were correct. Okay. And then they were both up there. You accidentally were correct with your racism.
It's not racism if they're getting compliments.
It's not racism. It's true.
It's a positive thing.
It's almost like somebody went and it's just broke off the island. All right. Let's see. Let's see. I have another random kind of a gripe someone needs to explain, but all movies do this, and it kind of bugs the shit out of me. In other scenarios, it's kind of reasonable. So the was it the Wraith or whatever is
the
flying
Wraith.
Around. No, yeah, the Ring Wraith. Flying around, and he's kind of flying straight, and then he stops, right? He circles back.
Yeah.
Okay, so he circles back because what? He senses it. Right, I'm assuming.
Or the ring called or something. Yeah, okay. He heard it, it.
Okay, so he circled around and he was kind of in the area, and then and then there was no calling, so then he changed his mind and flew off. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you fucking telling me that he's just randomly getting called by the ring at other places? Other things call him like the ring? Because would you not be flying around the entire fucking world, and the second it goes, oh, hey, I'm over here. Well, it has to be here. What else is pretending to be the ring somewhere else? Why would I fly away?
Bunch of dummy rings. God damn it, this is the fourth time today.
Yeah, right?
Dummy rings.
Somebody has another fake one. God.
Well, so wait, that actually brings into question now. You got me thinking about something because they're ring rays. Do they seek out all rings of power? Because there's multiple rings of power out in the world.
Or are they
just
seeking the one?
This is just the one ring.
Well, I think...
I think it's the one. They want the one.
I think
sure,
it's just,
yeah, that's priority number one.
Yeah. But it didn't just fly off for no good reason. Something shot the dragon or the worm or whatever it was.
No, that was... Okay.
It was the dragon.
Well, it's... I mean, it's a...
I love the idea that it's a worm.
Yeah, it's a wyvern, which is basically... It's a weird dragon. No, I mean, we don't need to get into it about what is a dragon, what's not a dragon. I don't know the difference, but there are certainly people that would be like, how fucking dare you call that a dragon?
Very so, upset by that statement.
Brandon, that is two different times that I'm talking about.
Oh.
You're referencing when Gondor
went up.
What?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Gondor's like fighting the battle. That's there, kind of, and he's on the wall, and then the dude shoots him an arrow. I'm talking about when they're in the swamp and they're hiding under a bush, and he's flying overhead, and then he stops and circles back because he's like, "Oh shit, I smelled something," and then he's like, "Oh well, I guess it must have been something else. I'm so foolish. This is the fifth time it's happened so far. Well, I'm gonna fly off now. You know, that's the time. Now those are the things that I've watched it a bunch, and I get high while I watch it. So I'm like. You know what? That doesn't make sense.
Focus on that a little bit too much.
That also raises some more questions about him flying over the swamp looking for things, because Smeagol was saying that no one uses the swamp anyways.
It's true. It's true.
So, like, why would he be looking there anyways in the first place? Maybe he's just strolling. Maybe it's a stroll around the park for him. I don't know.
Maybe he was high. He was off in the distance, and he's like, you know what? I'm fucking sick of this. I haven't found this king. I'm going to go smoke my joint, and then I'm going to fly over the swamp because nothing's there. And then he's like, oh, shit, what was that? Nah, it's fine, it's fine. I'm crazy.
I don't want to bring another false ring back. No, I'm just getting out of here.
It's all Isengard's weed that the Merry and Pippin found.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Good shit. It's good shit.
The Nazguls are crazy for that shit.
It was like 4:30.
It's the one thing they want more than the one ring.
It must have been like 4:30, right after they were smoking at 4:20, and then they were like, shit. A lot of passing that barrel around.
No, his shift was up, and he had no overtime hours to give, so...
I mean, the fucking fake dragon is definitely his ride home, right? He's just smoking on his way home from work.
The dragon's like, we've circled this area 5 times. When are we going home?
Dude, I'm so tired. I also want a break. What do you think? Do you think they just go back to Isengard and just chill out? Like, legitimately, outside of our hilarious weed stuff. I mean, they're not doing it 24/7, you think? Or do you think they already have, like, a break every once in a while?
What do they do?
There's fucking Saruman hanging out with them playing cards and shit.
I like that answer.
One more game, then you got to go back out and take another.
Double or nothing.
All right.
Well, this was a good one. This was a good movie. I greatly enjoyed this one.
All right, time to grade, grade, grade.
Grade, 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 grade.
Grade the movie.
Brandon, let me hear a little tune from the score of this one. Grade.
Grading the movie.
You're telling me that was different than the other movie? I'm supposed to be able to tell the difference. That was specifically Two Towers, obviously.
Obviously, that was directly out of the Two Towers. That had nothing to do with anything else.
That was perfect, Brandon. I thank you. I asked and you did your best, and which I respect.
I thought I delivered, but thanks. Appreciate that.
Well, you can believe whatever you want.
I will. Thank you.
Does anybody have a know what they want to grade it right off the bat and want to start?
I think I know.
I'll let you go then.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Okay, maybe not then. Maybe not, because you're sassy. And you know what? Kind of riled up, Jeff. Don't push me.
All right, go. Let's hear yours.
Whoa. Too far. That's my bad. I'm sorry.
No, so, yeah. I'll go ahead and grade this one. Sorry, I'm thinking about it again.
You're
bouncing back and forth.
I just had like a thing that popped up and said, do you want to organize your tabs? Well, what the fuck does that even mean? They got a problem with all my tabs? Fuck off.
Yeah, are they disorganized?
Like, how are they not? Like, what? They're tabs in a freaking...
Well, they're like, you have your email over here and then your IMDb over here. And then just like what, how does that make sense?
That seems so weird to me.
Anyways, okay.
Sorry.
I'm going to grade this. I think this movie was awesome. I think it was like as good, if not better, than the Fellowship one. Just like Brandon was saying earlier, the Fellowship one just felt like it was a lot of setup, like figuring out who's who, what's going on, establishing. Not to say, like, I mean, that the Fellowship was still a great movie. This one definitely had a lot more action, which I loved the action in these movies. I think something we didn't actually specifically point out was the film editing. I actually really enjoyed the editing of this movie, especially for the Battle of Helm's Deep. They had so much coverage and like so many interesting shots and that they'd cut to back and forth and kept it going, and it was just like really made it entertaining and fun to watch. And then that's on top of, you know, like I really love that the color aesthetic that I mentioned earlier, the, like you guys were saying, the props, wardrobes, makeup, everything is just on point. And I really do like the pacing and story of this movie better than the first one as well. And I did appreciate the comedy. The comedy is just kind of fun. It definitely gives me nostalgia points for this movie. Like it's just, it's kind of quirky, but also serious in this way. And I just love it. So, all that being said, it's great. I think I'm going to give it a 9. Because this one's just very classically good to me. Again, once we watch the third, it's been even longer time than since I've seen the third one. Once we actually finish this franchise, I might shift my ratings, but I can't see them shifting more than like a quarter point in any either direction. So,
all right, that's fair. All right, 9 flat for Jeffrey. Brandy, do you want to go? Do you want me to go?
Yeah, I'll go. This again was the first time that I got to see this one. I really, really enjoyed it just overall. It was a really, a good sequel. Perfect continuation, picked up right where the last one left off. We got a little bit of a refresher. You know, this is where, one of the big moments where Gandalf dies. So we're going to pick up here, to let you guys know, hey, there, you know, he might be coming back, which I thought was a good choice, but I thought its smartest move was to
he might be coming back. Spoilers, but hey.
was to focus more on the side characters and really flesh those guys out, give them a lot more character development than most sequels and most franchises will do. As they focus more and more on their main characters, they let their side characters kind of go off to the side and don't pick up on them very much. So I love that aspect of it. Like Jeff said, there was a lot more action, which was really intense, really good action. Great stakes were raised. Everything, again, still felt believable, minus a couple plot holes here and there, and minus the CG for Gollum, which was the only really bad CG I feel like stood out to me. Besides that, and of course, you know, the score wasn't original enough, so that definitely detracts at about 7 points. True. So
couldn't watch this one without already watching the first one.
Yep, that is exactly. Another 7 points off. So
shit, I need to lower my guess. Damn it.
this one was a lot of fun. All the crafts were again astounding. So and maybe even more so because we got to see like the close up of Aragorn's necklace, and that was really, really intricate and really cool. You know, a couple different changes for some of the clothing, and that was just again kind of nice to see more expanse of the world and what's out there. So mine's gonna be pretty high as well. I don't know if I want to keep it in the eights or if it borders a 9 for me as well. I think for it being what's that?
Nothing.
For being the first time I've seen it, I think I want to give it a little bit more of a grace. So I think I'm going to give this one a 9.
Damn.
Just because, I mean, I really enjoyed the hell out of this one.
So the CG didn't bump you to an 8. Interesting.
Nah.
Not even the forced title drop?
Yeah, that force tile drop.
I'm trying to bring him down a little lower.
Number two, I know. No, you got to go. You're going to have to pass by 8.75 guests to get to your 8.5.
I know. That's why I brought out 2 points.
That is very true. When he said I'm bordering 9, I was so excited. I was like, yes, I nailed it.
It's like, are you sure? Let's retalk the score, the CG, and the title drop. Are you really sure?
I know. I always love whenever Brandon's grading, Jeff and I are having a side conversation and like making faces and guessing and then trying to like influence.
And that's one of my favorite traditions. It's great.
It always happens when Brandon is. Everyone else is like quiet and waiting for the person. Then Jeff and I, when Brandon's doing, like, what? No. He's got it. All right, so we got two
makes my guesses feel, or my weights, my
intense.
A lot of my grades a lot more intense. Yeah, a lot more special than they are.
Magical. I missed barely. All right, so we got 9 and a 9. Oh, guys.
Nine?
All right, nine. So my grade, I'm just going to shoot. I'm gonna tell you what it is because I decided, honestly, I decided before Jeff picked.
Ooh.
And well before Brandon picked. But I'm also going to go with a 9. I have 1, 2, 3, 4.
This is the second time this has ever happened.
I know.
Right?
I'll somebody else look it up. I'm going to do my spiel and everything. But I have my 9s right now are Jojo Rabbit, Castaway, Fight Club, and The Prisoner of Azkaban, which I kind of associate this closer to a Prisoner of Azkaban, like on steroids, kind of like the long version of it. I think of everything that we said of like the first one, you know, knocks out the heavy lifting, and this is just like the good shit. And it's like, when you think of the like the good middle of a movie, they made that part into a movie, and it I mean it is fucking long as hell, but it doesn't drag for me. But it's like you notice the time solely just because it's fucking forever, like physically. You notice the time because you've been sitting there forever.
You're like, shit, I have to go to work tomorrow.
I know. I have to pee at some point. You know, at some point. But I think the freaking, the story, the issues I had with the stories and the editing in the first one disappear for this one. You know, I think the CG gets way cleaned up. I agree with you that Gollum isn't, like, I consider Gollum, most of Gollum, as a negative. I think the close-ups, honestly, I think the close-ups look really good. There are shots that I think I could like make a clip and just show myself that and think, oh, this is fucking amazing. This is like legendary. You know, the action is fantastic. We talked about Helm's Deep. The Battle of Helm's Deep is it is legendary. It's not even like that's really is legendary where you could watch it. You could watch that on its own. It is 40 minutes. 40 fucking minutes of a single battle. It is broken up by like the Ents attacking, but other than that, it's like a solid chunk of time, and it's like you're not like waiting for it to the end or to end. You're just enjoying it, and the pacing is fantastic. I really, really, really think this one is just splendid. And the makeup, like I said, like I don't know how to express how much I love the orcs. Amongst everything, but like for whatever reason, the orc specifically, I was like, the skin looks fucking perfect. Like every little bit of it, I'm like, I love this fucking movie. And the comedy comes out, and it is really just like such a fun fantasy. You know what? I'm going 9.25. Fuck you, people.
Oh, you talked yourself into it.
Yes,
I did. And I mean, one thing that we really didn't talk about is
you're not allowed to change. Go ahead.
The pacing is pretty incredible. The pacing is, I mean, you're right. You don't really feel the length of this movie like you kind of think you're going to. At least I didn't. I mean, there was a tiny bit, you know, near the beginning of the second act where it started to slow, kind of, but it didn't feel super like dragged on.
I will say, you know, Sam and Frodo is a little slow here and there, but it does feel like the breakup of the straight action of the other the trio.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. I think it's placed well. And that goes into the thing that Jeff likes is the editing. The editing is you know, really snappy with that as well. So yeah, it's a very, very well done piece of filmmaking that would
Snaps
have had
Lord
us
of the Rings.
That would have had us at our second tie in scores until Matt had to go.
What was the other one?
Break
fucked it.
It
up.
Yeah, whatever.
I know.
Screw you.
What up?
What was the
bitch.
Other one?
I thought it was Joker.
One was shit. Where did it go?
Or was that just highest average? I can't remember.
What'd you say, Jeff?
I can't remember if Joker we actually all matched or if it was like just one of the highest averages.
No, Joker, I think, was the highest average. The one where we all tied was another New Zealand film, Hunt for the Wilder People.
Oh, we all tied at what?
At 8.
At 8. Oh, see, we gotta get round numbers. We have a lot that are like one off, like like a quarter of a percent off.
Mm-hmm. I Someone always fucks it up.
I know. Hey, again, somebody fucked it up. Good, good, good. I'm okay. Hunt for the Wilder People. It feels like it's a better movie for all of us to tie than this one. I just like this one more. I'm more of a fan of the Lord of the Rings than you guys. So that's you know,
you're
that's
more
what we know
fan
about this.
Of the Two Towers, which makes sense because you were looking up penises all day.
All right. Well, so that's it for what we watched. That was Lord of the Rings, Two Towers, or Double Penis, whatever, Brandon. That is so next week or in the future. We will be finishing this off with The Return of the King. Spoiler. That doesn't mean anything. Don't think it's
that's just the title of the movie.
That doesn't mean anything. Don't even think about that.
I'm really excited for this title drop, though.
I'm sure. Right off the bat, I would love it if they're like, the king. Is this The Return of the King? And then they just like cut to something else.
Is this that day that shall
no,
be the return
the
of the
Lord
king?
Of the Rings.
Jeff's gone. All right. Jeff has disappeared, so that's a signal that we need to go.
I put the ring on. I'm sorry.
Oh! Nice. I should have thought of that. Damn it.
It's right there.
Oh, okay. If everybody could like, subscribe, whatever that bullshit is. Brandon, not Jeff. Jeff doesn't do any of this shit. Brandon, we have some like Instagram or some crap like that, right?
We do. Oh. We're all on socials as Jeff takes the ring back off. We're all over socials. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter.
This is the worst possible
Instagram
time.
Page. Come follow us.
Oh, no.
Wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Podcast Addict, that's where I get mine. Wherever you can find podcasts, you can find us. So come check us out. Come say hello. Send us an email. Do your thing. We'd love to know what you guys think of The Lord of the Rings, how many times you've seen it. And, you can even contact us and just berate me for not seeing it for 20 years. That's fine, too. Just come say hi.
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 All right, guys. Talk to you later. Enjoy the movies.
Bye.
We'll talk to you later. Bye.
We're still not in
Bye.
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 Ben, we're rusty.